Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you in Jesus' name. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, we ask, Lord, that everyone be able, by your grace, to understand this exhortation that you've given us today that is so important, and especially for this time right now. Thank you, Father, for doing this. Thank you for bringing all things to our remembrance, that you've spoken to us concerning this, and Lord, work in all of your people to willing to do of your good pleasure. Thank you, Father. Well, all right, saints, I do have a very, very important revelation here that was actually prophesied several times last year, and it was for this year at this time. So, we're going to call it addictions or distractions kill the whole man. This first revelation here was from Eve Brast, December the 21st of this 2019. And I'm going to bring in some of her past revelations, which point to this particular time right now. This is a most important revelation for this time. And I believe that God had Eve act out a warning for those who are contending for the bride and even life itself. And this will help many to repent of distractions, of addictions to the internet, to politics, to hobbies, to sex, to excitement, etc., so they can concentrate on running the race to bear fruit before someone takes their crown and they're delivered over to the dragon. Sounds serious, doesn't it? It is serious. He said, I would like to share a recent experience that led to God giving me this dream. I hadn't realized how far I had gotten away from the foundational teachings that endeared me to UBM until recently. When I first came to this ministry, I fed on Sovereign God and the Real Good News series for months and months, and it gave me a hunger and an excitement to read the Word, which I had never really understood before listening to the panoramic Bible studies and reading Hidden Matter for the End Times. But slowly through the years, because of persecutions and trials of my faith that I had failed, and listening to the voice of discouragement, I found myself worn down, kind of on autopilot, just going through the motions with faith and belief. I said I believed for different situations, and I knew all the right things to say, but deep down, the fears and doubts were screaming all the what-ifs to my mind. Boy, did she ever get a dream about this. It's a good one. She said, over time, the enemy came in very gradually and with great stealth to steal all the wonderful foundational truths that I had started out with. It wasn't that she didn't agree with these truths anymore. It's just that they were not living in her. She went on to say, this put my spirit man into confusion and made me weak to fight against the wiles of the devil. Well, she had an army arrayed against her. There are many people that have hated Eve because of her dreams, because it corrected them, and they've made war against her through witchcraft and many other methods, just as I have myself, and they're going to fail. recently, I had been struggling with my flesh over the entertainment of watching YouTube videos, which was eating up all my spare time. There is no spare time. I was addicted and no longer in the Word or feeding my spirit man to keep him strong and defended against the enemy. My conscience knew that I hadn't been a good steward of my time. I knew I was in a battle with my flesh. First, I moved the YouTube app to the last page on my phone screen, hoping that it would give me enough pause to reconsider getting on it and wasting time. But that didn't work. It only took a second to flip over to the last screen page and click the app. This really frustrated me and caused me to keep falling into condemnation, which wasn't helping the situation at all. I finally got so sick of the battle that I deleted YouTube from my phone altogether. Probably a good idea for lots of folks out there. And since I had been so addicted to watching it, I would still, out of pure habit, pick up my phone and get on YouTube. Then I would realize it was no longer accessible on my phone, and then spiritual sanity would kick in, and I was about to go and read the Word or spend time in prayer or listen to the foundational teachings that are now strengthening my faith and belief again in the promises of God for my life and the lives of my family members that I now have a renewed faith for. Amen. Think about that. Think about that, saints. Think about it. You need to do this now. There are things on the very, very near horizon. There are shakings coming. There are attacks from the deep state. There are on and on. I finally feel like my spiritual life and relationship with the Lord is being restored. I don't even miss the Dog Whisperer videos and the America's Got Talent videos, among others, at all. And it was all just useless distractions, a plan of the enemy to render me ineffective for the kingdom in many areas of my life and building up my most holy faith. Amen. That's true. Now, you know, Eve told me of this problem with distraction that was adversely affecting her faith and her joy and her health. Yes. So it really is a distraction for the whole man, right? It's a destruction for the whole man. Your spirit man needs to be strong and fed the Word of God to stay strong, to take the lead in your life so that the old man doesn't rule, right? When she realized this, she began to listen to the real good news again. And after that, I noticed a great difference in her brightness and revival that was coming back in her. Her faith and confession became powerful, and she said the constant pain and health issues had ceased too. This came to an end at Christmas time, 2019, and the manifestation of her personal man-child, that is Christ in her, returned. Well, this was prophesied. She prophesied it herself in 2018, at least twice, this thing happening not just to her, but to the bride in general. Okay. Meaning, of course, the worldwide bride going through a time of weakness and dissatisfaction and so on and so forth, right? Eve said, I hope this testimony and dream will be a helpful admonishment, as it was for me, and an encouragement also to all of my UBM brethren. Okay, well, I'm going to share her new dream in just a moment. But first, I want to share one of Eve's prophetic dreams of this weakening and then strengthening of the bride body, which came a year ago. Eve prophesied in 2018 in a dream of this time of weakness in the bride, and then being strengthened by the Word to remanifest Christ, the man-child, in her at a future Christmas time which we now discovered is 2019, and which has come to pass. Several prophetic words she shared have now come to pass, a confirmation, a strong confirmation. Well, I'm going to share first, before I share her dream that she got because of this situation she was in, I'm going to share first with you one of those prophetic words, which we now understand even better than then, because we didn't know what future Christmas it was. Now we do. So we're calling this Eve, the bride body weakened, but recovery prophesied through the teachings. Yes. And Eve got this on 8/8/18. She said, I dreamed this morning that our local UBM assembly was meeting on an upper floor of an apartment building. And of course, our local UBM is used just like an individual is used of a larger corporate body. So we're talking about a macrocosm of greater things, right? And of course, an apartment represents a body of our houses built together into a holy temple in the Lord, as Ephesians calls it. Okay. The bride is a body. The church is a body. The man-child is a body. These are bodies, corporate bodies of people who attain to a certain level of righteousness and purity in the Lord. Okay. So, she went on to say, we were all sitting in a large circle singing a cappella praises to the Lord. David was sitting along the wall where the entryway led into the living room. And I've been very careful in these days to watch the entry, you know, and there are people who would love to come in and destroy, which we've been delivered of, these people. And they're not coming back until God grants repentance, or else they become destroyed. Either one is going to happen. Michael was on his left, and I was on his right, and as a type of the last Adam's bride, Eve. Eve represents in this the bride, right? And I was wearing a beautiful dress with a floral pattern on it. I believe that this is a symbol of the fruit and beauty being borne by the corporate bride body at this time. But I was very weak. Here it is. Here it is right here. But I was very weak and thin from fighting a long illness. She said, I believe I represent a corporate body sickness from the faction, and I was recovering as a body of people. Okay, so it was more than, it ended up being more than just the faction. It was the warfare of the witchcraft against her and the body in order to keep us from being overcomers and so on and so forth. I couldn't stand or move around for long before I had to sit down and rest. This is representative of her weakness that she experienced because of basically a lack of food for the spiritual man, right? David and Michael had to help me by each holding my arms for support when I needed to stand or walk. And I'm quite sure now that this represents the teachings from the Word through us that strengthens the bride. Saints, you need to get back to the teachings and the revelations of the Word. Strengthen your spiritual man. A battle is coming. Put on your armor. Get strong in the Lord. Get on the top of the mountain and get prepared. Okay. But I was slowly regaining my strength day by day. Okay. Well, this happened just before this Christmas. This, of course, revelation was from last year, but this has also happened, and she's very strong today. But anyway, so David and Michael helped me back up. Well, I believe, again, this is the teachings of the Word that we've put out that helps the bride and strengthens the spiritual man the man-child in the bride, so to speak, the fruit of Jesus in the bride, so to speak. And we all held hands and walked in a circular clockwise direction. Well, clockwise direction is time going forward, right? Into the future. Well, this prophecy was in 2018, or I should call it a prophetic word, because some people don't understand me calling it a prophecy, but it is a prophecy. It's a prophetic word. It was in 2018, but it spoke of Christmas time in 2019. This we know now because it did manifest. We sang Silver Bells, Silver Bells, It's Christmas Time in the City. And, of course, we know there's no such thing as Christmas. It's a phony bunch of baloney that comes through the Catholic Church. But God uses things like that because people know about them, to be a parable, so on and so forth. Like we just shared a parable about the Little Mermaid. What she got to do with anything, right? Well, God can use a parable and make a parable out of anything. He just wants you to listen, right? So we were singing Silver Bells, Silver Bells, It's Christmas Time in the City. What city? I believe it's symbolizing the time of the man-child's birth in the bride, the city of God. A time when gifts are given, right? I became tired and had to go sit down, and I thought, quote, Christmas time? Quote. So that was the Lord leaving a hint. But pay attention here, you know. And of course, we know that the bride recovers from weakness with the help of the teachings at this Christmas time. So I saw this help come to Eve. I saw her brighten up. I saw a revival in her, you know, and all of this, at the moment that was happening, I didn't realize that she was playing out, a parable for us and for the bride. Okay. So please listen carefully. And if you have to go back through this again, please do. So Eve's new dream of distractions and resulting weakness, where all this was overcome by the word, just as this revelation, last revelation, right? She called it forgetting the place of rest. And it's talking about the rest from your own works. All these distractions and things, addictions out there that have distracted some people in the bride and is going to keep them from finishing the race. So Eve got this on December 21st, this 2019. I dreamed that I was at a huge hospital/hotel complex. Well, this is just as the prophetic dream that I just shared from 2018. The bride is like a hospital and a hotel in that it is a place of healing, and it is many houses built together into a holy temple in the Lord, as Ephesians says, right? It had a 7-story parking garage attached to the building, as well as several other huge parking lots surrounding the premises. Okay, this is a place where there's a lot of people whose vehicles are at rest. You see what I'm talking about? Your vehicle is this physical life that needs to be doing the work of God and resting from the works of the flesh, right? So this 7-story parking garage. And the parking garage represents our vehicle or our body at rest from works through faith that comes from the promises of God. See, when you get faith in your heart, you can cease from your works. You can trust that God will do the work, and he does it through you. Amen? And seven, of course, brings us to the day of rest, right? So she said, this hospital slash hotel represents the kingdom of God, where his righteous servants accommodate those entering the kingdom and minister the healing of the word to them. But the healers need healing sometimes, right? And she got Ezekiel 47, 9 through 12. And it came to pass that every living creature which swarmeth in every place whither the rivers come shall live. These are rivers of the water of life being represented here, and it is the word of God. Okay. In every place whither the rivers come shall live, and there shall be a very great multitude of fish. They're saved by the word and nothing else, folks. No religion can do this for them, and that's the problem, is a lot of them are not into the word. For these waters are come thither, and the waters of the sea shall be healed, and everything shall live whithersoever the river cometh. Amen. Let the river come to you. It's the rivers of the waters of life, the word of God. Let them come to you. Give time for it to soak in to your spiritual man. Feed your spiritual man. And it shall come to pass that fishers shall stand by it from En-Gedi even unto Eneglim, shall be a place for the spreading of nets. Their fish shall be after their kinds, as the fish of the great sea, exceeding many. Now get this. But the miry places thereof and the marshes thereof shall not be healed. They shall be given up to salt. Well, they represent the waters of the word that are not living and active, as the Bible calls it, and healing. Living waters are called this because in the Bible they are moving and constantly being refreshed from above, right? That's what a river is. Whereas these miry places are the swamp that we've been talking about, of dead religion, even dead right doctrine. You know, I mean, because Eve had right doctrine, but she was weakened because it wasn't fresh and living in her. And that's when she made the change. And that was all a type and a shadow that God permitted for the purpose of exhorting us who seek to be in that beautiful bride, right? And then it continues on with the living waters that heal, right? And by the river, upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow every tree for food, whose leaf shall not wither, neither shall the fruit thereof fail. It shall bring forth new fruit every month, because the waters thereof issue out of the sanctuary. That is God's place, right? It comes from God, right? And the fruit thereof shall be for food, and the leaf thereof for healing. So Eve says the seven-story parking garage represents the 7 days of creation in which God rested on the seventh day, and the 7 1,000-year days, of which we've come to the beginning of that, right? And now we are commanded to keep a continual Sabbath rest from our own works and efforts. Yes, because the only place we're commanded to have a Sabbath, it's called a Sabbatismos, which is a continual Sabbath. It's not a one-day Sabbath. The church has never been commanded to keep a one-day Sabbath. It's commanded to keep what's translated Sabbath, but is actually Sabbatismos, a continual Sabbath. We'll talk about that again in a minute. And also, the seventh day of rest from our works was the highest and most mature point in the building, right? It's the highest floor. It's a goal that we must all reach. in ceasing from our works and entering into God's works through faith. And that faith comes from what? Devouring the Word of God, not wasting time with a lot of foolishness that has no eternal value. So, anyway, along with this revelation Eve received by faith at random in our morning prayer meeting on 12/24, what people call Christmas Eve, 2019, and this text about entering the rest, and her finger was on, believed. Do enter into that rest, believed. Hebrews 4, 1 through 10. Let us fear, therefore. I have to say that many people don't fear this. Even though they've read this, they don't fear this. Let us fear, therefore. Why? Lest haply a promise being left of entering into his rest, any one of you should seem to have come short of it. See, all the promises together bring us into all of the rest. It's not just one promise here or there, accepting Jesus as your personal Savior or anything like that. It is letting your mind be renewed with the Word of God so that you have faith in areas where you can cease from your own works to do God's works. And fear that you come short of it because you're ignoring some word from God. For indeed, we've had good tidings preached unto us, even as also they. But the word of hearing did not profit them, because it was not united by faith with them that heard. Well, faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word. Right? They didn't pay attention to the word. And let me say, some people who are seeking to be in the bride are not feeding their spiritual man the word to make him strong, to make him a leader in your house and not the old man, right? And here's the place where her finger was. For we who have believed do enter into that rest. We who have believed do enter into that rest, even as he has said, as I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. He was speaking about his people. He wasn't talking about the world. They shall not enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. In other words, we enter into God's works, which were already done through faith that comes from being feeding on the Word of God, right? For he has said somewhere of the seventh day on this wise, and God rested on the seventh day from all of his works. And in this place again, they shall not enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some should enter thereinto. And they to whom the good tidings were before preached failed to enter in because of disobedience or unbelief, apatheia, it's either one. If you, by the way, if you don't believe, you will disobey, because faith is what gives you the power to obey. Okay? So, and you don't get faith while you feed on the world. The old man gets stronger as you feed on the world. You get weaker. The spiritual man gets weaker. Cut yourself off fast from all that garbage. We were talking about the political, you know, thing, how people keep getting caught up in that and studying it all the time, all the time, all the time. And most of the time you can just read the headline and say, okay, and then move on. You don't need to know the whole story. You know enough to send forth the angels and do spiritual warfare and conquer the enemy. You don't need to know very much to do that. And that's what you need to be doing, right? He again defineth a certain day, today, saying in David, so long a time afterwards, even as hath been said before, today, if you shall hear his voice, harden not your hearts. This is the problem. your conscience. God speaks through your conscience that you don't need to be doing this. You need to go and get into the Word. This is what makes you strong, right? And people harden their hearts because when you ignore your conscience, it gets quieter and quieter and quieter. And pretty soon, God doesn't say it to you anymore. How many times has God said that to you? That you don't need to spend all day running from political thing to political thing or other thing, habits, bad habits. For if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken afterwards of another day. That's right. All that was a parable for us. There remaineth, therefore, a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Notice it just translates it Sabbath, but this word for Sabbath is sabbatismos, meaning a continual rest. People argue about, well, is it Saturday or is it Sunday? It's neither in the New Testament. There remaineth a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Who are the people of God? Those who are born again from above. This word for Sabbath is sabbatismos, a continual rest from our works, not just one day. For he that hath entered into his rest hath himself also rested from his works. What does God command us to cease from every day? Our works. That's our rest. That's our Sabbath rest. That's our resting from the works of man. So we've also rested from his work. He rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore give diligence to enter into that rest so that no man fall after the same example of disobedience or unbelief. Let me tell you, if you disregard the word and you go out and you get caught up in so many other thought things in your life or words coming out of your mouth and so on and so forth, you're going to come into unbelief and disobedience. And notice, our works are called disobedience. And what? They cause a fall, that no man fall after the same example of disobedience, right? Also that morning, Matt Stewart received by faith at random Haggai 2, when God showed the curse the people of God were under while they built their own house instead of building his house. Now, we're not talking about building our house. We're talking about our life, right? We're not talking about buildings here. We're talking about our life instead of building his house, right? We're here to build his house, right? And, of course, that was the problem. They were building their house. He rebuked them. He told them what curse they were under and so on and so forth. And when they started on his house, God said, from this day will I bless you. So seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. That's what he says. Now people disobey that command. From this day, when they started working on building God's house, from this day will I bless you. And the text said this was on the 9th month and 24th day. It tells you there in the text. The 9th month is our December, and it was the 24th day. So there you go, back to December the 24th, which we recognize as Christmas Eve, or some people do anyway, that we received this, that we received this. How awesome that God gave us these prophecies, and they're all pointing, you know, at this one revelation here. So here they ceased from their own works and entered into God's works and the blessings of God. And we also received dreams of escaping the dragon at Christmas time. Only if we did not move or do fleshly works. The revelation spoke of us not moving, meaning doing fleshly works, ceasing from your works, right? And historically, Christmas was more than a day. It was a season. Let me share this. It says, And I'll put a link here so you can go and read the whole thing if you want to. In traditional Christian churches, Christmas, as well as Easter, is celebrated as a period of time, a season of the church year, rather than just a day. The season of the church year associated with Christmas actually begins with the first Sunday of Advent, four Sundays before Christmas Day. The Advent is marked by expectation and anticipation in preparing to celebrate the coming of Jesus. Okay, and of course the church is into that and probably deceived in that, but let's look at the parable here. Christmas begins with Christmas Day, he went on to say, December 25th, and lasts for 12 days, the 12th day of Christmas, you remember that, right? The 12 days until Epiphany. Now, let me just stop here for a moment. We know what Epiphania means. It's the shining forth of the glory of Christ in his people. So we can see what Christmas is representing here, the coming of Jesus in a body, right? So that's the man-child shining forth from his holy people. Not talking about the body of the man-child that comes to be the leadership for the church, but our individual man-child. Epiphany is the climax. This man is saying this. Epiphany is the climax of the Advent / Christmas season and the 12 days of Christmas, which are usually counted from the evening of December the 25th until the morning of January the 6th, which is the 12th day. Okay, interesting. So we're in this period right now, this period. I just wanted to point out to you that this Epiphany period, this coming of Christ in his body period, you know, is a period of time. And or has been historically a period of time. Okay, and again, I'm not saying Jesus was born at Christmas time. Please don't be saying that. I don't believe that. In fact, I believe it was in September. Okay, that's my opinion. So, and of course, all of this is, you know, of course, a passed down by the Catholic Church, which this country up until not too many years ago rejected this. And then of course the apostates got us into it. Okay. Okay. Here it is. Haggai 2:15-19. And now I pray you consider from this day and backward before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord. We got a job to do, folks. If we've got knowledge and we've got wisdom and if we've got fruit, we got a job to do. It's not so that we can just sit and wait for the rapture either, right? We are to build the kingdom of God. So he said, consider from this day and backward before a stone was laid in the temple of the Lord. Through all that time, when one came to a heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. That's a curse. And when one came to a wine vat to draw out 50 vessels, there were but 20. That's a curse. I smote you with blasting and with mildew and with hail and all the work of your hands. Yet you turned not to me, says the Lord. Consider, I pray you, from this day and backward, from the 24th day of the 9th month. And I've shared in past revelations that I thought one day this could be used for our days instead of one of their Jewish days, right? And that's what we're pointing at now, December the 24th day. Since the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. In other words, now look, you just started on laying the foundation of the Lord's house. And look what he says. Is the seed yet in the barn? Yea, the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive trees have not brought forth. From this day, that's the day they started working on the temple, laying the foundation of the temple of God. From this day will I bless you. Notice that the day of the end of man's works brings God's works and the blessing. Don't get distracted, or you will miss the bride and meet the dragon, which is in some revelations that we've just shared. If you miss the bride, you may meet the dragon. He went on to say, it was dark outside, and throughout the whole dream, I was walking around over all the multiple parking lots trying to find my vehicle because I had forgotten where I had parked it. This is a revelation, folks. Looking for the vehicle at rest. She wasn't at rest, constantly looking for that place of rest for her vehicle. So she said, this is a very dark time, and we can't afford to stray away from the living word and the place of rest. Amen. Amen. And everyone must find his or her vehicle at rest because of the word living in them, right? She went on to say, the vehicles in the parking lots represent our lives at rest while God is doing the work. Yes. Hebrews 4, 1 through 3. I'm going to give it a little bit of it to you again. Let us fear, therefore, lest haply a promise being left of entering into his rest, any one of you should seem to have come short of it. Don't miss out on a promise. All of the promises together bring us into all of the rest. Don't miss out on the promises. Read the promises. And when you read them, believe that that was given to you at the cross. Victory was given to you at the cross. Just repent and believe. You see, it's very easy. For indeed, we have had good tidings preached unto us, even as also they, but the word of hearing did not profit them, because it was not united with faith in them that heard. Now, they knew the word. They quoted the word. They spoke the word. They were the people of the word, right? Or so they thought. But a dead word is not living waters. For we who have believed do enter into that rest, even as he has said, as I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. How easy can God make it? He's already created the works and finished them, and all you have to do is enter into them through faith in the promises. See? Eve said, I was so frustrated that I couldn't find my vehicle. In the dream, I had a rechargeable flashlight that Brandy had brought for me in real life, and I was trying to use it to help me find my vehicle. But it kept flickering and going out on me because I had failed to recharge it. Yeah, this represents failing to consistently stay in the Word and recharge your mind and your spiritual man with faith. She said, when we get away from the word, it becomes dark to our spiritual sight and our discernment suffers. We become easy targets for the enemy to distract us and to get us out of the faith and the rest and bring sickness and hurt upon us, you know, harm upon us. Yeah. The flashlight would stay on for about 30 seconds and then flicker off. I would then turn it off and wait a few minutes to see if I could turn it back on. It would have enough juice to stay on for a few more moments, and then it would go dead again. And she gives for a word here, Psalm 119:105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The word keeps you on the narrow path. It shows you where you stand, a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It shows you where to go. You get out of the word, you lose that. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And I put Proverbs 20 and 27 in there. The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord. The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all his innermost parts. You remember the wise virgins? They had oil in their lamps. And the rest were distracted and missed the king when he came. No doubt they thought they were ready. But they didn't have that conscience that comes from reading the word and having the oil in their lamp. And in the parable of the sower, 3 of 4 who received the word were distracted and bore no fruit. Matthew 13:19-23. This should make you tremble before God. Fear the Lord, right? When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the evil one and snatcheth away that which hath been sown in his heart. If it's not very important to you, let me tell you, you won't understand it. You won't look at it. You won't search it out. You won't think about it. A lot of times it's because it comes against what you really want to do, right? And this is he that was sown by the wayside. And he that was sown upon the rocky places, this is he that heareth the word and straightway with joy receiveth it. We've seen people like that. They were so happy to get the word, to finally understand the word. But they weren't going to live the word. And they didn't give grace to their brethren. And they wouldn't forgive. And so their minds became clouded with faction and witchcraft, and they were taken out. And they're one of these people right here. Yet hath he not root in himself, but endureth for a while, which they did. And when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, because it's going to come, because it has to be tested, right? Straightway he stumbleth. And he that was sown among the thorns, this is he that heareth the word, and the care of the world and the deceitfulness of riches chokes the word. And that's all these distractions, too, chokes the word, and he becomes unfruitful. And he that was sown upon the good ground, this is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, who verily beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Oh, 1 out of 4. Yeah. Finally, the light, flashlight, quit working altogether, and I was really regretting forgetting to charge it back up. Yeah. So charge up your spirit man in the word to find your body at rest from fruitless works. That's the parable of this story. James 1:21-25. Wherefore, putting away all filthiness and overflowing of wickedness, receive with meekness the implanted word. Whose job is that? He said for you to receive it. Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deluding your own selves. See that you end up in delusion. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth away and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But he that looketh into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and so continueth, he that endureth to the end shall be saved, right? Being a hearer that forgetteth, but being not a hearer that forgetteth, but a doer that worketh, this man shall be blessed in his doing. Amen. Eve said, I made my way back inside the hospital/hotel, and as I walked into the lighted lobby, I suddenly remembered that the lighted lobby, got the light turned on, light came on, right? I suddenly remembered that I had parked my vehicle on the fifth floor of the parking garage. So, and she has a note here, getting back into the light of the word and the kingdom will renew our minds and help us to get back to the foundational principles that saved us in the beginning from the old nature. And I might add the curse. Yeah. Romans 12 and 2, she has, and be not fashioned according to this world. That's what you get if that's what you feed your soul, is the world all the time. Or the worldly right-wingers. Are you studying the right-wingers? Not necessarily saved people or the word that has eternal life in it, just the right-wingers, because they have more agreement than the left-wingers, right? Be not fashioned according to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You can't prove yourself to be in the perfect will of God without renewing your mind. It is the mind of Christ. How can two walk together except they be agreed? Why do you put the word of God in your heart? So that you walk and speak and think in agreement with God, so that you can win this battle against the principalities and powers and rulers of darkness, right? He said, so I approached a blonde-haired lady submitted to the light of the sun, is her note concerning the blonde-haired lady, who was dressed in a pink knit top. She called it the color of love, that worked there. And I asked her which elevator led up to the fifth floor of the parking garage. And she has the number 5 symbolizes God's grace. And where does that number 5 end up? At the sixth floor, which is what, you know? Yeah, grace, right? The number 5 symbolizes God's grace, goodness, and favor towards humans and is mentioned 318 times in Scripture. 5 is the number of grace, and multiplied by itself, which is 25, is grace upon grace. Okay, cool. She pointed to my right over to an isolated silver service elevator and said, it's right over there. She was looking to the way to find grace. She wanted to find grace, but there's always a hindrance to finding grace, you know. She said, so I walked over to the elevator and pushed the button to go up, and the door opened almost immediately. And as I was stepping into the elevator, I noticed a very tall, thin, homeless-looking man at the back of the elevator. Well, I believe this represents the old man who is homeless because he lost his house to the new man, but constantly works to gain it back. In other words, he always wants to take over your house. Have you noticed? Give him just a little slack, he'll take over. He had on tan jeans and a tan and maroon plaid long sleeve shirt. And I believe this represents works that are not white, tan. They're not white. They're dingy, representing an unclean heart and walk. And he said, this man represents my old man or nature, who is in rebellion to the word of God, represented by the tan color of his clothing. Tan was the color of the Nazi's uniform. Yeah, he wants to rule, and he'll do it viciously if he has to. He wants to rule. He wants to rebel. The maroon color in the plaid shirt represents the blood that the old man is guilty of. Okay. Revelation 16 and 6, for they poured out the blood of the saints and of the prophets, and blood hast thou given them to drink. They are worthy. See, the old man wants to kill the spiritual man. The old man wants it his way. He's the enemy of all that is righteous and good. He had long, wavy, dirty blonde hair and a matching beard. He was dirty and his clothes were dingy. I immediately didn't feel comfortable being on the elevator with him and tried to step towards the quickly closing elevator door, but it was too late. Uh-oh, trapped in the elevator with the old man. The doors closed and the elevator started going up. This homeless man began talking about all the bad things that could possibly happen and speaking all sorts of word curses to me. Yeah, he will rob your faith and the resulting fruit. Yes. And you won't be ready when the bride is chosen. I kept casting it all down and countering it with statements of faith, but he wouldn't shut up. I began pushing buttons indiscriminately, trying to stop the elevator on any floor just to get away from the homeless man and his evil mouth. Yep. She said, David teaches a good parable about Joshua conquering the five kings who represent our five senses of our fallen nature. These are the things that we rely on when we listen to our old man and rely on his senses. Joshua 10:16-27. And these five kings fled and hid themselves in the cave at Makeda. And it was told Joshua, saying, the five kings are found, hidden in the cave in the earth. Your body is made of earth, and you have a opening in your cave. It's your mouth, right? In the cave at Makeda. And Joshua said, roll great stones unto the mouth of the cave. Why do they call it a mouth, right? The mouth of the cave, and set men by it to keep them. So, here they are trying to conquer the old man, but they have to first conquer those five senses, right? We can't conquer our promised land and take it from the old man so long as the old man is permitted to speak from our mouth. Rocks represent the word over our mouths, which causes us to resist such thoughts and words. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. If you speak the words of the old man, you will not make it. You will not bear fruit. So once you have cornered the old man and you resist him with the word over the mouth, then you can go put him to death, right? Verse 19. But stay ye not, pursue after your enemies. Sure, after you've trapped the old man, then you can go after your enemies. And smite the hindermost of them, suffer them not to enter into their cities, for the Lord your God hath delivered them into your hand. And he did that at the cross. He delivered us from the old man. Reckon yourself to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. Right. Romans 6, the story of the crucifixion of the old man, the baptism of faith that kills the old man and brings the new man to life, right? And it came to pass when Joshua and the children of Israel had made an end of slaying them with a very great slaughter, because the old man wasn't allowed to speak out of the cave, right? Till they were consumed, and the remnant which remained of them had entered into the fortified cities, that all the people returned to the camp to Joshua at Makeda in peace. None moved his tongue against any of the children of Israel. There you go. The old man couldn't speak. Verse 22. Then said Joshua, open the mouth of the cave and bring forth those five kings unto me out of the cave. And they did so and brought forth those five kings unto him out of the cave. And the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, the king of Eglon. And it came to pass, when they brought forth those kings unto Joshua, that Joshua called for all the men of Israel, and said unto the chiefs of the men of war that went with him, come near and put your feet upon the necks of these kings. What was the purpose of that? Well, it's so that they cannot speak. If they brought them out of the cave and they removed the rocks, then they still couldn't let them speak, right? So they cannot speak and put to death our spiritual man. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. You want to bring death to your spiritual man? Let the old man speak, right? And they came near and put their feet on the necks of them. And Joshua said unto them, Fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage. For thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom you fight. So, Eve said, we must fight the good fight of the faith and defeat the enemies in our promised land. That's right. Which is talking about your life, right? And this is by not permitting their distractions, thoughts, and words, we will win. If we get distracted by the things of the world and forget to charge our batteries, we will have no power to resist the whole man. Our minds will be full of worldliness that has no power over self. Three of four fall away because of this. Yeah. And afterward, Joshua smote them and put them to death and hanged them on five trees. Well, he wasn't taking no chances, was he? He made sure they were dead, dead, dead. Hanged them on five trees. And, of course, we know that the trees represent the cross, right? Where our old man was crucified. And they were hanging upon the trees until the evening. And it came to pass at the time of the going down of the sun that Joshua commanded, and they took them down off the trees and cast them into the cave wherein they had hidden themselves, back in the cave, and laid great stones over the mouth of the cave unto this very day. So they put the old man to death. They put the old senses that wanted to speak out of the mouth to death. The old man can't speak with a rope around his neck, or a foot on his neck, or dead in a cave and blocked by the word. He can't speak, right? So you got to get into the word, right? Suddenly the elevator jammed. Oh, no. And became stuck between the fifth and the sixth floors. I mean, falling short of reaching the seventh floor of rest, right? Because the old man is speaking. Notice. And she said, when we allow fear and anxiety to rule us, allowing the old man to speak, we become stuck in a nowhere land between faith and rest and the works of man and the flesh. James 1, 2 through 7. Count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into manifold temptations, knowing that the proving of your faith worketh patience. And let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacketh wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing doubting. See, the faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word, right? Yeah. Or belief cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word. For he that doubteth is like a surge of the sea driven by the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord, a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. This is why a lot of people don't receive. We can't afford to not receive what we need from the Lord, but the word brings forth faith. But distractions bring double-mindedness. And Romans 10:17, so belief cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Amen. You need to feed your spiritual man. The door opened momentarily, and I could look down and see several blonde-headed people gathered near the elevator on the fifth floor. They were talking and laughing and enjoying each other's company. She said these represent brethren who are in the rest, having faith towards God and submitted to the Son and the Word. The door then closed quickly because the elevator sensor realized it was between floors and that the situation was unsafe. Well, when we hear the convicting word, the door is opened, right? But not for long, because disobeying our conscience defiles it, and it speaks quieter and quieter until we hear it no more. So we see that this is an unsafe condition. That's why the door opens momentarily and gives you a choice, and you've made the wrong choice, the door closes quickly. And we have to avoid being one of those three out of four who bore no fruit. Amen. The homeless man continued talking and saying things that put fear into my heart. I began pacing inside the elevator, and I was starting to panic that no one would hear my calls for help and that I would be stuck there forever. Some will never break free from the old man's words and be forever lost. Go back to the word. It is your power. It is the food of the spiritual man. Amen. There was no roof on this elevator, so I could see the shaft above and over to my right what looked like the attic of a house. It was lined with pink fiberglass insulation in between all the wooden rafters. Then I noticed a blonde-haired, blue-eyed little boy, sounds like the man-child, who was toddler-aged. He was dressed in just a white cloth diaper and a diaper pin. He was walking precariously, balancing on the wooden rafters in between the pink fiberglass insulation. He was happy and didn't seem aware of any danger. She said, this represents our spiritual fruit of Christ in us. Our spiritual man, our man-child, is only in danger when we are listening to our old man. Our old man will put to death our new spirit man if we are not receiving grace from God because of our rebellion and self-will. Yep, our spiritual man of Christ in us will fall from his high position in God, where the rest is. She was looking up towards the top floor there. And the spiritual man is in the rest. It's the body that needs to come to rest. It's the mind of the flesh that needs to cease, right? But if you keep walking after the flesh, you must die. Romans 8:12-17 says, so then, brethren, we're debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye, talking about Christians, live after the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, there's the works of the old man right there, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you received not the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be, people like to pull the ifs out, if so be that we suffer with him, that's the suffering the death of self, that is suffering the crucified through the crucified life, to put to death the old man that the new man can live, right? So that we may be also glorified with him. You see, it is not unconditional. He was only talking to Christians here. So then, brethren, if you walk after the flesh, you must die, he says. And of course, we know as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God, led by the Spirit of God. That means ceasing from your own works to do God's works. I told him that he needed to get down from there immediately before he got hurt. He wasn't in danger. But you know, when your flesh is the flesh and you let it speak, you're going to drag down the spiritual man. So he obediently came over right away and crawled down into my arms. You know, when we're in fear, the spiritual man is in the hands and in danger, is in our hands and in danger. He can't retain the high place in God. And we fail to attain to the corporate bride or man-child body too. She said, as I held him, I was thinking of a way that I could escape the situation, but fear and despair were dominating my mind as the homeless man continued to talk. That's right, folks. You know what to do. You need to fill your mind with the Word of God. If you don't do this, your spiritual man is going to get weaker and weaker until you lose the battle. There seemed to be an urgency to find my vehicle. Yes, the place of rest, right? And I was becoming anxious and fretful because of all the thoughts that were running through my mind. But the little boy didn't seem worried at all. Well, the spiritual man is the one with the faith, and he must be permitted to speak it, right? We strengthen him by the Word of God, which fills him with faith, and he's confident, even walking around on the rafters up there in the rest, right? 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but mighty before God to the casting down of strongholds. Enemy strongholds. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that is exalted against the knowledge of God, which is the Word of God. You have to know what the standard is. You have to put the standard in your mind so that you'll know the difference between God's word and the old man's words, right? And bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. This is how you cease from your works and enter into his works, right? Amen. She said, then I woke up. And at that time, we had these verses that came forth that confirmed her revelation. And she says, these are verses we received by faith at random at this time for the morning meetings that confirm this dream. You've got me. I already shared one of those with you back at the beginning of her revelation about the rest, entering into the rest, right? Well, here's one she got too. Matthew 17:17-20. And her finger was on 20. And the Lord answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? Belief cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word. Hearing who? Hearing the Lord. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? He had been speaking the word to them, and it really wasn't being believed and acted on. Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked him, and the demon went out of him, and the boy was cured from that hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast it out? And he saith unto them, because of your little faith. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Well, how do you get that kind of faith? Well, belief cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word. And Tim got 2 Samuel 22 and 29. For thou art my lamp, O Lord. The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord. But you need oil in that lamp. Right? Need the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. Amen. And that's really what Eve got, too. She got into the Word, and God lit her lamp up. And Missy got 1 Peter 1:13 through 25. Wherefore, girding up the loins of your mind, be sober, set your hope perfectly on the grace that is to be brought unto you at the what? Revelation of Jesus Christ. And where do you find that? In the Word of God. You get the revelation of Jesus Christ. As children of obedience, not fashioning yourselves according to your former lusts in the time of your ignorance. But that's what you're doing if you're just wasting your time with these distractions. Okay. But like as he who called you is holy, be you yourselves also holy in all manner of living. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Holy is separate. What defines holy? The Word of God. How do you know how to get to holy? The Word of God. How do you get faith so that God gives you power to be holy? The Word of God. And if you call on him as Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to each man's work. Notice, God is going to judge you according to your work. Therefore, you must enter into the rest from your work. And I don't care what the apostates say about accepting Jesus. The Bible says, repent and believe. It does not say accept Jesus, because he doesn't accept you if you don't repent and believe. And if you fall out of the faith, as Paul said clearly, you too will be broken off of the vine. Pass the time of your sojourning in fear, knowing that you were redeemed not with corruptible things, with silver or gold from your vain manner of life handed down from your fathers, but with the precious blood as of a lamb without spot, even the blood of Christ, who was foreknown indeed before the foundation of the world, but was manifested at the end of times for your sake. Amen. Who through him are believers in God, that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope might be in God. See, we get this revelation of Jesus Christ in the Word. And so it's so that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing that you have purified your soul. See, this is a seeing of faith here. You have to see by faith here. Seeing that you have purified your souls in your obedience to the truth, unto unfeigned love of the brethren. You know what fake love is? A lot of people have fake love. They know what they're supposed to look like, sound like, so on. Then they tell you, I love you, but their actions prove just the opposite. The hypocrites. Unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Love one another from the heart fervently, having been begotten again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible through the Word of God. If you don't sow the seed in your heart, it won't bear fruit. Which liveth and abideth. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory thereof as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower falleth, but the word of the Lord abideth forever. And this is the word of good tidings which was preached unto you. So go back and get them, saints. Get it. You can't go by what you once were. You've got to be it now, right? And Leon got Matthew 25:3-13. For the foolish, when they took their lamps, took no oil with them. Mm-hmm. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Now while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. But at midnight there is a cry, "Behold, the bridegroom, come ye forth to meet him." Then all of those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "Peradventure, there will not be enough for us and you. Go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went away to buy, too late, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage feast. And the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, "Lord, Lord, open unto us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know not the day nor the hour." This was obviously shared by the Lord as a warning to fear him and to fill your lamps. And the moral of this story is stop being distracted by the old man with things that have no eternal value, or you will not bear fruit and will miss the bride and possibly heaven itself and will become a victim of the dragon, as we found out. At Christmas time, we escape the dragon by not moving. Let me explain that by this revelation that Eve got in 2018, prophesying that which is happening right now. And of course, not moving represents ceasing from our works or distractions. This is another prophetic dream of Christmas. And Eve got this on 11/27/18. And my note back then was, what we see here is the faction / deep state dragon trying to take down the righteous, but God directing their wrath to take them down instead. Did you know that that Babylon took down the apostate leadership of God's people and then conquered them? And this is just as Pharaoh was at the Red Sea and Sennacherib at Jerusalem and the three armies against Jehoshaphat at Jerusalem. They all came to destroy the people of God, and they got destroyed. The glory of the Lord is going to be seen by the whole world at our Red Sea. The fear and respect of the Lord will be on many from among the nations. A common timing theme in these dreams that we've been sharing is Christmas time, which symbolizes a time of the man-child manifesting in his body. I'm not talking about the man-child body of ministers that are coming forth, those that have manifested Christ. I'm talking about the man-child Jesus coming in his body through the Word of God and the Spirit of God. This is a time for the bride to escape the dragon through the crucified life and the manifestation of Christ in her. Individuals in these dreams represent corporate bodies of people around the world. He said, "I dreamed I was in my paternal grandparents' house in Highland Park in Dallas, Texas. I was in the living room and decided to go down to the basement. In real life, there was no basement. To check on my three sons. As I went down the basement stairs, I saw my ex-husband moving large containers of some sort from outside the house. My thought was the old man bringing the things and the ways of the world into the house. And through the left brick wall of the basement, the left brick wall of the basement, as if the wall was an illusion of some kind. He was bringing it right through the wall. So the wall is, of course, supposed to be sanctification in the Lord. But it was an illusion that comes through the left. They have fake Christianity. They have fake sanctification. It doesn't do them any good. They're still moving the things of the world into their house. And that's what happens, you know, when you're on the left and you're distracted and you're doing your own thing. You do whatever feels good to the flesh and think it's acceptable with God. And this place that really doesn't exist is like the underworld of the house. Jesus called it from beneath or from below, he called it. He was speaking to those Pharisees who had religion, but it wasn't doing them any good. My sons were all younger in the dream. Noah was 9, Elijah 6, and Josiah 4. And I called out to my ex over the commotion and asked if I could spend some time with the boys. He never stopped what he was so busily doing, only replied, "They are busy helping me. We don't have time for that." Well, we know that the left and the old man have always hindered the fellowship of the bride with her children. They do everything they can to stop that. The demons in them are bent on destroying the children. And they find a willing vessel. They use them. Then I heard and felt a shaking sound. This could represent the shaking that's coming. And the time of the man-child manifestation in a holy body of people. Have you noticed the earthquakes, as you know, as a natural sign, let me say, the earthquakes are shaking in very bad places, you know, at the ends of fault lines, especially off the Juan de Fuca fault line, north to south, and down the, you know, down the west coast. Even though the timing of Christmas and its traditions are false, it can represent the time of Jesus' coming. Notice that there is a coming of the Lord in his people. It can represent the time of Jesus' coming in his holy ones whenever that comes. And why Christmas? Well, we're going to see. We have seen and we will see. Behind me and I could see a large red GCI dragon in the spirit coming for me. And this is a realistic 3D animated dragon. The dragon in Revelation 12 is the beast of the first 3.5 years who fails to devour the man-child and then seeks to devour the woman church. And from other dreams, we know that we are now in the time of the immature dragon. So this is a cartoon dragon, right? A childish dragon compared to what's coming. Then I hurried down the stairs and went around the stack of containers that my ex had brought into the basement and turned around to see the dragon coming down the stairs. It had yellow eyes. It looked just like the dragon Smaug. I guess that's how you pronounce it. I don't know. I never watched any of this Lord of the Rings stuff. It looked like the dragon Smaug from the Lord of the Rings movies. Okay. I'll have to take her word for that. It said, "I'm coming for you," quote unquote. I hid behind the containers as it stomped past. Once it was past where I was, I noticed a Christmas tree over to the side of the basement. Well, there's another Christmas time, man-child, Christ in you, revelation, right? So I hurried over, knelt down behind the tree, and was praying and telling myself, if I'm very still, he won't be able to see me. There it is again. I'm sure you remember this, some of you. And this is ceasing from works. In other words, if the bride ceases from her own works, the dragon will not see her. I asked the Lord, is this also a physical Christmas time that the Lord saves the bride from the dragon? And I asked and got two heads for yes. And now we've noticed what happened to Eve as a sign for the body of the bride, right? So notice this revelation was a prophecy in 2018, which spoke of this 2019 Christmas time in which Eve turned from distractions and remanifested her man-child, Jesus, in her when the dragon of the left was seeking to bring her down. Pretty neat, huh? Yeah. So, Noah came over and began to ask me, "What are you doing, Mom?" And I told him, "If I'm very still, he won't see me." This is how she would escape the dragon, is by ceasing from her works, right? If we who seek to be in the bride will cease from our own works, we will escape the dragon who is seeking to devour us. Noah laughed and said, "You mean him?" pointing to the dragon. I said, "Yes." He then started pushing on me to make me move. Kids have a way of getting you into the flesh, right? The dragon saw me and narrowed his eyes and said, "I see you." He began to lumber over towards me as I woke up. Okay, that's what saved her, waking up. Children who are temporarily in the camp of the left don't understand the true nature of the dragon. The woman here escaped the dragon in the dream here by waking up and getting her eyes open. Or I should say the bride, right? Getting her eyes open. Well, another thing, you know, is the ex was trying to use the children, you know, to get her in the flesh, right? So that's a fulfillment of this. This was a true prophecy. I asked Father for a couple of words by faith at random concerning this dream, and my finger was on, "I have broken Moab," in Jeremiah 48 and 38. Moab were the children of Lot, who factioned away as leftists from their brethren Israel as a type of the church. And, of course, we can see that they will not escape judgment. Jeremiah 48:35-47. "Moreover, I will cause to cease in Moab, says the Lord, him that offereth in the high place and him that burneth incense to his gods." They have a false Jesus. "Therefore my heart soundeth for Moab like pipes, and my heart soundeth like the pipes for the men of Kir-Hares. Therefore the abundance that he hath gotten is perished." In other words, the Lord's going to plunder them. "For every head is bald and every beard clipped. Upon all the hands are cuttings, and upon the loins sackcloth. And on all the housetops of Moab and in the streets thereof there is lamentation everywhere. For I have broken Moab like a vessel wherein none delighteth, says the Lord." The Lord is going to judge the faction. Often uses a parable of Edom, which is the same thing. They hated their brother, turned against their brother. Right. How is it broken down? How do they wail? How hath Moab turned the back with shame, so that Moab become a derision and a terror to all that are round about him? For thus saith the Lord, behold, he shall fly as an eagle. The Lord shall fly as an eagle. That's the deep state eagle. And shall spread out his wings against Moab. That is the religious factious. Kerioth is taken, and the strongholds are seized. The heart of the mighty men of Moab at that day shall be as the heart of a woman in her pangs. And Moab shall be destroyed from being a people, because he hath magnified himself against the Lord. Yes, they have. They think that they just speak against the righteous, but they speak against the Lord. The righteous speak the word of the Lord. They deny the word of the Lord. They resist the word of the Lord. They don't obey the word of the Lord. And it doesn't impress them. Fear and the pit and the snare are upon thee, O inhabitant of Moab, says the Lord. He that fleeth from the fear shall fall into the pit, and he that getteth up out of the pit shall be taken in the snare. For I will bring upon him, even upon Moab, the year of their visitation, says the Lord. That is a coming of the Lord. I want to tell you, that's the coming of the Lord in the man-child, and it's the coming of the Lord in his people. They that fled stand without strength under the shadow of Heshbon, for a fire is gone forth out of Heshbon, and a flame from the midst of Sion, and hath devoured the corner of Moab and the crown of the head of the tumultuous ones. Woe unto thee, O Moab! The people of Chemosh is undone. For thy sons are taken away captive, and thy daughters into captivity. Yet will I bring back the captivity of Moab in the latter days, says the Lord. For thus far is the judgment of Moab. Well, both of these texts involve a visitation of the Lord to punish the wicked and reward the righteous. The Lord is coming manifested in the man-child and the bride bodies by word and by spirit. He's coming in his holy people as his word manifests in them, and as it did Eve in this time. The second one I received by faith at random, my finger was on. He will carry them in his bosom. Isaiah 40:11, the right and the righteous will escape. And he talks here in this text about the humble being exalted, the proud being humbled. Amen. And I think I'm going to skip this one, go on down. Y'all can come back and read it. But it's a good word for the people of God who trust in him, and a judgment against the Edomites. Notice the same words in this here is his reward is with him and his recompense before him. When God saved the bride from the factious Edomites in Isaiah 62:11 through 63 and 3. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the earth, say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. Who is this that cometh up from Edom with dyed garments of Bozrah? This is that is glorious in his apparel, marching in the great of his strength, I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thy apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth the wine vat. I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the peoples there was no man with me. I trod them in my anger, and trampled them in my wrath, and their life blood is sprinkled upon my garments. I have stained all my raiment. A very fearful judgment against a people who have hated their brothers, criticized their brothers, warred with their brothers, joined with the beast against their brothers. And here's Angelica Garza's revelation, which is all about ceasing from self-works, or the dragon will devour you. There it is again. In the dream, we were in the mountains, and we were about to be attacked by a T-Rex. That's the dragon. That's Satan in his body in Revelation 12. I knew that the T-Rex went somewhere off to the left in the distance. I believe that this is talking about the leftist body of Satanists preparing on the left coast to attack the righteous, which gave us a little more time to prepare. And I also know that he was coming back quickly. And this was given on 11-11-19. Yeah, he's coming back quickly. So there's little time to prepare. Get filled with the word. Strengthen your spiritual man by faith. I was saying to the others that we have got to get to higher ground. That's right. Heavenly places in Christ Jesus, right? Which is overcoming the world. We began to climb a tree, but found that this tree was cut off at the top and was not going to be sufficient to escape. Then I was in this white house a short distance off from the tree, which is a place of safety in purity, I believe. I looked out the window and saw a fair amount of people like work crews trying to put an electric perimeter fence in place. And I was thinking to myself, this is not going to work, as the T-Rex will just crush that. And my thought was, man's efforts to be safe outside of God's house is going to fail. Remember, she was looking out of the White House. They weren't in the White House, right? Then I was telling some children, whom I did not actually see in the dream, how to avoid detection by not making a sound and to be still, as the T-Rex can detect the slightest of movements if he looks through the windows. So the dragon has been given authority over man's works. If we cease from man's works, he does not see us. And the Sabbatismos is ceasing from our own works of flesh and sin, ceasing from addictions and distractions, right? That strengthen the old man and weaken the new man. There were other peoples in the house that were preparing last minute. I did not see faces. It began to get late, and we were just waiting on the soon arrival and attack from the T-Rex. So we can tell that it's today, it's even sooner, and he will take down what is not under the Passover blood of the Lamb. So be sure and eat the Lamb, who is the Word of God, to escape the destroyer, right? I asked the Lord for a word at random and got Ezekiel 16:23-25. And it came to pass after all thy wickedness, woe, woe unto thee, says the Lord God, that thou hast also built unto thee an eminent place, thinking that they'll escape, right? And hast made thee a high place in every street. Thou hast built thy high place at every head of the way, and hast, there's a church on every corner, right? And hast made thy beauty to be abhorred, and hast opened thy feet to every one that passed by, and multiplied thy whoredoms. This is, of course, representing those who love of the world and the things of the world and are not and not have a love for the seed of the unleavened bread, right? So I also asked for another word and got Psalm 59:7-9. Behold, they belch out with their mouth, swords are in their lips. For who, say they, doth hear? Yeah, they really don't act like God is listening. But thou, O Lord, shalt laugh at them. Thou shalt have all the heathen in derision. Because of his strength will I wait upon thee, for God is my defense. So the faction will be devoured. And whether this is talking about the faction in the world, the faction in the church, the faction in the government, the faction of the denominations, so on and so forth. And the righteous will be delivered. Now, here's something I think that's very useful to you. If you'll pay attention to this, we have great authority in the spiritual realm. God sent us angels who are ministering spirits sent forth to do service for them that are heirs of salvation. That's what he said. So do we have angels that are sitting by uselessly waiting on us? Well, in most cases, yes. So we need to command our warring angels to defend us and to bring down the enemies. You know, any military seeks to first behead their enemies by taking down their leadership. This is just good warfare. And it's no different in the spiritual realm. Nebuchadnezzar, who we say represents the deep state, beheaded Israel by capturing and killing Zedekiah and the apostate leadership. If you behead the thing, then the rest of them's at your mercy, right? So modern Babylon, as the deep state, will take down the apostate leadership of the church, as types and shadows show. And of course, there's no Passover or protection for the apostates, right? But for the righteous, there is a Passover, for they have eaten the lamb, the word of God. Sennacherib tried to behead Israel by destroying Jerusalem, the bride, and Hezekiah, the man-child, and failed. One angel killed 185,000 of his valiant men in one night. The warring angels will defend the righteous and the bride today from the deep state faction and the church faction. So we got this revelation given to Marie Kelton, our Shalanda. Send the warring angels. And she got this on December the 19th, this 2019. In the morning prayer meeting, Michael was playing Song 46 by Shane and Shane. And when it came to the part about a battle, I heard the clanking of medieval armor. Then the Lord asked me, "What do you see?" And I said, "Lord, I don't see anything." But then I saw a lot of huge angels coming in from the front door. That's the front door of our morning meeting, morning prayer meeting, right? And from the side door, and they were wearing armor, a lot of huge angels. And the Lord told me that they were here to help us in the battle. And there was an angel standing by each of us. And the Father told me to put my armor on, so I did by asking him to do it. Okay. So, and I do believe our local body here in this case, which is not our whole body, but our morning prayer meeting, those that can make that, represents the larger UBM body. And the angels standing next to us represent angels who stand next to you, ready to do spiritual warfare on your behalf when you speak faith and you send them forth. We do it all the time. And they go and do. We've actually seen them fly away when we command something to be done. And they come back very quickly because it doesn't take them long to do the job. So just remember that. They're waiting on you. They are there at your disposal. As a matter of fact, then on December 24th, she got this in the morning prayer meeting. I saw an angel who had armor on walk through the front door and come up to me. The angel said, "Reporting for duty." In other words, put me to work, right? He had a sword in his hand. I started to second guess if I was hearing and seeing the angel. Then the angel said it again, "Reporting for duty." So then I sent him to go fight the demons that are keeping my family in bondage. Well, that's an excellent idea, and I don't think it's an accident that that was what came to her mind to do. And so should we send the warring angels to defend our spiritual and physical families. and to bring down the principalities and the powers that are arrayed against us. And I tell you what, saints, it's because people are not sending the angels and they are ministering spirits sent forth to do service for them that are heirs of salvation. Salvation, as we know, is very big, not like the church believes. It's salvation from the curse. It's salvation from sickness. It's salvation from the enemy. It's salvation in circumstances. Soteria, all of our needs supplied like a little baby. In other words, everything, all the grace that God gives us and everything that we need. So send forth the angels. Send forth your warring angels to defend you. Defend your families. Defend the family of God. Defend the righteous. You can't defend the apostates. You know. Now, there are people passing through apostate churches who are innocent because they haven't had time to really learn the truth of the word. And so I say that there are many of those that will be saved and spared through this thing so that the revival that's following, they will be built up in the Lord. So remember that. And remember that the Lord has given you authority to bind on earth and to loose on earth. He's given you authority. Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. Exercise your authority. Exercise your authority against the spirits who are making war on your mind to try to keep you in a state where you are weak. Like Eve was showing in her revelation here. A great revelation. It's for this time. It's time for the people of God to quit falling into these habits of spending a lot of time doing goofy things that don't have any eternal value and don't build up the spiritual man to fight the battle against the carnal man. This must be done. It must be done now. God is saying, draw close to Him. Seek first the kingdom. Seek to build the house of God. You know, if you give, it'll be given unto you, right? You give your time, your resources to build the kingdom. God Himself will turn it back around and bless you mightily, just like He did in Haggai, right? So don't be deceived like a lot of the church is, that because they hang out with a group of people, they're somebody. No, it's only if you are growing in the fruit of the Lord and His life and His ministry that you are somebody. It don't matter who you hang out with. As I've said before, you can pass through McDonald's, but it doesn't make you a hamburger, right? So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to pour forth of your Spirit on all the brethren out there who are hearing this and are understanding this message, that they will drop these unimportant things, this constant distraction. Sometimes it's a political addiction to go find out who's winning the battle out there. You know, when you really don't need much to do warfare. Or it may be a hobby. Or it may just be pleasing the flesh or habits that keep you away from the word and distract you from the word that makes you strong. Remember, Jesus in you is made of the Word of God. He is the Word of God. How can He be in you if the Word of God is not in you? Right? Be strong. Rebuke the devil. You know, you go sit down to read the Word of God, and all the devil does is bring to your mind something you need to do, and you think it's more important than sitting down and reading the Word, right? Oh, no, he's that distracting devil. He wants to keep you from growing up in God. He wants to keep you from strengthening your spiritual man because he knows that you'll have no power against him if your spiritual man is not fed on the Word and the Spirit of God. Yes, ask the Lord constantly to refill you with the Spirit of God, to restore unto you the years that have been stolen from you by the God's great army that's come against you, right? Why has God got a great army coming against us? So we can learn to fight, so we can learn to walk in the Spirit, so we can learn to walk by faith, because everything else will fail. And it's a test to see how much we love the kingdom and love the Lord. And do we love Him enough to spend time with Him and spend time in the Word and talk to Him as we're in the Word and pray His blessings when we see in the Word we have needs and believe God to answer? So, Father, we thank You, Lord, for these revelations. We thank You, Lord, for manifesting Your man-child, Jesus, in us, because the devil can't do anything with Him. Manifesting Him in us by the Word of God in our hearts, which is, in the parable of the sower, what brought forth the fruit of Jesus, the sower of the Word Himself. Lord, let us receive with meekness the engrafted Word, or the inborn Word, which is able to save our souls. And a saved soul is nothing more than Christ in You, the hope of glory. Thank You, Father, for doing this mighty work in Your people. Thank You for this wonderful exhortation. We ask that people will take it seriously and repent and believe in Jesus' name. All right. Thank you so much, saints. God bless you. Thank you for joining us today. And please go back over this. I mean, think about it again. Exercise faith against things that are distracting you. Lay aside every weight that's besieging you and the sin, right? Lay it aside. Run with patience the race that's set before you. In Jesus' name, amen and good night.